Pastor McLean, New Testament Baptist Church. I am Chris Lau, and my wife and I and our daughter Eliana are serving here in Thompson, Manitoba. We want to say thank you for your continual support of us and the ministry up here. And today it's a frosty minus 27, a nice cool day, but God is so good. And I just want to say thank you for the years of faithfulness. I really appreciate even the emails I'll get on a frequent basis there in return and some of the feedback there. I think real blessing and encouragement. And I want to say thank you guys for letting us be your missionaries here in Thompson, Manitoba, Northern Manitoba. Tonight, or this afternoon, or this time of day, I'd like to bring a message entitled A Detour in Life. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 22. I'll give you a second to turn there. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. While you're turning to Exodus chapter 13, a little illustration for you. A pastor was outside sitting on his porch one day and thinking about the unpredictability of life. At any moment, one's life could change, and so one should live every moment looking to the Lord. As the preacher sat there, his neighbor passed by leading his horse. The preacher called out to him, "What are you doing with your horse?" The man answered, "I'm going to town to sell it." The pastor said, "You ought to say that you're going to sell it if it's the Lord's will." The man replied, "What does this have to do with the Lord's will? This is a good, healthy horse, and it'll be sold before you know it." The pastor said, "Have you forgotten that God is watching you? You need to put everything in God's hands in order for it to work out. You should say, 'If it be the Lord's will.'" The neighbor then said, "This is my horse, and I have raised it specifically to be sold. I've even gotten a buyer for it. The Lord won't change anything." Later that day, the neighbor passed by the preacher's house again. He was covered in dirt, his clothes were ripped to shreds, and he was bruised and sore from one end to the other. The astonished pastor asked, "What in the world happened to you?" The man replied, "Well, I talked to you for so long that I was running late for my appointment with my buyer. To get there on time, I took a shortcut through a cornfield owned by a cranky old buzzard. Well, that farmer saw me trampling through his field, and he started shooting at my horse. The horse panicked and fell over on top of me. Then it kicked me in the eye. Trying to get out from under the horse, I tore my clothes to pieces. I ran from that old man and his gun and ran smack dab into a barbed wire fence. That's what happened to me." The pastor asked, "Well, where are you going now?" The man answered, "Well, I'm going home now, if it be the Lord's will." End quotes there, kind of a humorous story. But beloved, every Christian, we need to realize that God has a plan for our life. And he has his own specific will for us, but we must be willing to follow the Lord and do what he wants us to do. And sometimes we don't like necessarily the detours that we have to go on, particularly the detour of the last 2 years. Sometimes we're like the old man who fell from the horse and feel like God's will is not important. Sometimes we do not want to know his will, fearing what it may be. We must also realize that God's ways are not the same as ours. We must understand that you and I, we think differently than the Lord. And so may we let God lead our life wherever, realizing it is for your good. If you found your place there in Exodus chapter 13, we're going to read verses 17 through 22. Israel here in the situation of the context of Scripture has left Israel. They're in the desert and they're on their way out. Then they've come to a crossroads of where to go. Verse 17, picking up. "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, 'Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt.' But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you.' And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let's go, Lord, and ask for his blessing upon this time, and we'll commence looking at this on a detour in life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as they come before thy holy throne, Lord, these precious people, Father, I pray today, wherever they're at in their lives and the challenges that they may be going through. Father, these last few years have definitely been a detour. And Lord, we don't know what is going on ahead. But Father, we do know the direction forward is to follow you. And Lord, I pray that that would be in the submissiveness of our hearts to, Lord, just follow you. God, to be faithful, to take step by step. Lord, if someone is really discouraged, Lord, I pray today that you'd encourage their heart, lift them up. If someone's lost and they're saying, I don't know where in the world I'm going in life, and I definitely don't know where I'm going after this life, Lord, I pray that they'd be saved. Father, I need your holy anointment. Father, I ask that you would guide me, guide my lips, guide my thoughts, and everything that's said may it be pleasing in thy sight. Lord Jesus, I love you. And so, Lord, I commit this time to thee and trust that you'll do what only you can in the hearts of the listeners. May you be glorified. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. First of all, I want to look at a prudent or cautious path here. In verses 17 and 18, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Here's two significant facts I want to read for you, a little commentary. The shortest route to the Promised Land went up along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea right through the land of the Philistines. The Philistines were to become aggressive, bitter enemies of God's peoples. God knew that the Philistines would feel threatened by 2 or 3 million people marching through their land, that they would attack his people. God's people were just not strong enough to fight. Moreover, they had few, if any, weapons with which to fight. They had been reared as slaves, not as warriors. They had no military training whatsoever. They had the spirit of slaves, broken slavish spirits, not the spirit of soldiers. God knew exactly what his people needed. They needed to be forever freed of fearing the Egyptians. Therefore, God was planning to destroy the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. They needed to be hardened and toughened by living in the wilderness for several decades before facing the enemies who would stand against their entering the Promised Land. They needed to be humbled and proven to see exactly what was in their hearts, whether or not they would keep God's commandments. If you recall in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, a precious truth, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. There in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's some years down the road, some 40 years down the road past this incident, that God was saying, I allowed you to wander in the wilderness to test you to see what was in your heart. Now, obviously, the length of the time in the wilderness was lengthened and stretched because of a lack of faith and murmuring, complaining by the 10 spies, which ended up getting Israel, and that was the 10th time that they did such. And so God said, everyone 20 years and older will perish. But our God here in Deuteronomy 32:10 looks favorably and lovingly upon his own children. Deuteronomy 32:10, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Understand that Israel here is coming up to a situation. I mean, if you look at where Israel left there in Goshen in Egypt, they could have gone straight across the top part of the Sinai Peninsula into the Promised Land. I mean, man, within a few months or just a short period of time, they could have been in Canaan land. But God said, no, I don't want you to go in that way because there's enemies that'll destroy you. And you might be having in your own personal life saying, what in the world just happened? I just lost my job. This just happened. This just happened. It feels like a door after door after door is closing in on me. And God doesn't care about me. God's not here for me. God doesn't know what God, I've been faithful to church, and I'm tithing and faith promise, and I'm working in the church, and God, I'm doing all this for you. I mean, God, you just delivered me from something great as in Israel's chance. And they come up against a roadblock. But I want you to understand some lessons on God's character is that, number one, God will not lead you to where you will be destroyed. God knows how to take care of his children, especially when they're weak.
God will never lead me down a path to put me back into bondage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, God will not give me what we cannot handle. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, listen, I wanted to give you meat, but I knew you couldn't handle it, so I still have to give you milk. Additionally, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God talks to me, I'm not going to be suffered to be tempted above that I'm able. God makes a way of escape. God never allows me to be tempted greater than I can resist by his empowerment. Additionally, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, God does not want me to turn around and look at the old life. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the truth here of God's character, he's not going to lead me back into bondage. He doesn't want me to turn around and look at the old life and say, wow, look at the partying and the fun I used to have. No, that led me into bondage. That's what led Israel. I mean, here's Israel in bondage in Egypt. And for the 40 years in the wilderness, many times they wanted to go back to Egypt. But I have to understand in this detour in life that God is showing me my dependence is to be God-led. A pillar of fire by day, by night, and a cloud by day. The path to the promised land is filled with obstacles. The path to the promises and rewards and blessings of God are filled with obstacles, and God knows how to navigate around these obstacles or through over these obstacles, should it be a time of great trial, so that I can be victorious and learn something new. God helps me to avoid any unnecessary enemies. God led Israel not through the well-paved path out of Egypt, for the easy path across the top of Mount Sinai there in the peninsula would have been the easiest path. The easy path might very well be the most destructive path. And you might be thinking, what in the world is God doing over these last 2 years? I mean, this country is, you know, seeing unprecedented destruction or hurt, whatever your place of political spectrum and ideas about all that's transpiring. Nevertheless, we understand there's some chaos that's coming, but God still has a purpose for his people. And it might be a detour as you and I would see it, but in God's plan, he's accomplishing something in us. He led them through a difficult path, through a sandy desert. But the harder path, seemingly, was really the easier path around the enemies when they weren't ready for it yet. God's character and testimony was on the line for his own people. He had just delivered them from Egypt. They're still tender. They're not a warrior-like people. You see, the thief doesn't wait out in the middle of nowhere to steal from someone on a hard road, neither. Rather, they will oftentimes be hiding along a well-trodden path to get unsuspecting victims. The idea here that Israel was harnessed. In verse 18, the latter portion, the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. They were lined up for war. Here they are lined up, but they're peasants and slaves. God's given us from the very beginning warnings, instructions to avoid the hurt. I mean, God told Adam and Eve in the beginning, don't, in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. God gives us warnings. Now, an illustration, a little child is throwing a temper tantrum in his arms. And he throws it in your arms as you hold him and you try to console him and they're flailing about viciously as they can. And if you desire to calm the child down and prevent them from hurting themselves, you'll put them on the ground. But then they smack their head against the floor and hurt themselves. The child was resistant to your consolation. And many times you and I do that exact same thing. God trying to console us. God's trying to lead us in a path of life. And you said, God, I just lost my job. I just saw this major debt. I just saw this in my life. What are you doing? God, you're not for me, you're against me. And many times we can have a Job-like symptoms in our mind. We end up, because I'm not willing to be dependent and God-led. But God's desire in Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world, earth, for I am God and there is none else. How about Isaiah 41, 10? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's saying, listen, don't fear me. Don't fear the enemies. Just follow me. And you know what? I've given you a clear direction. I've got a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And you and I today, we have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And many times we're kicking and saying, God, this is too hard. Lord, are you kidding me? This is four times longer. Why am I doing it this way? God, why do I have to go all the way around the Sinai Peninsula? Are you kidding me? God, it's easy to go this way. The beginning of this story, this message, talked about that gentleman going to sell his horse, and he tried to go the shortcut, and it didn't bode very well for him. Do you realize that in obedience to God leads to a deliverance from our enemies? And I'm not saying it leads to a deliverance necessarily from persecution, because Jesus said persecution will come. But I can have God's hand if I'll follow. And God sets a clear path of deliverance for His people. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. My friend, sometimes in these detours of life, I want to run. I want to stay home. Trials and troubles and things come up, and I want to sit on my haunches. I want to sit back in comfort and ease. God says, you stay faithful to me. You stay faithful to my house. You stay faithful in your service for me. You stay faithful in your evangelism. You stay faithful in your time in my word. Friend, I need to stay next to the Lord. May this be our mindset of Psalm 5, 7, and 8. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Friend, follow the cloud and the pillar of fire. After leaving Egypt, Israel wasn't prepared for war, and they were looking completely to the Lord and Moses to lead them, and yet they came up against the Red Sea, and what did they do? They whined again. In my own life, I was in the military one time, and I was on a TDY. TDY stands for temporary duty, like a business trip. I was there for 6 months, and I was down in the state of Ohio at a particular church, and I had to come back to New York to a friend's wedding, and I broke my foot. I had to get on the plane and go down, and here I am in Ohio, just been there about a month or so, and I had been got on to serving at a church and helping out with their bus ministry there, and here I had a broken foot. Maybe I'd been there several months, but I had to ask people in this church who I didn't really know to drive me around because it was my right foot. And I had a manual transmission in my Honda CR-V. I had to be dependent on others to help me. And you know what? In my weakness, much like Israel's weakness, God knew that Israel could not handle being attacked just after leaving Egypt. Understand this, when I'm vulnerable, God is still powerful. God's wisdom frees us. He leads us to a continual walk. God will not put us into bondage again. And I want to show you in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me here. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 16. We'll come back to this Exodus, but Romans chapter 8, verse 12.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here's the next key part. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen to me. God's Spirit will not lead me back into bondage. And you might be saying, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what's happened to me this year. You don't know what's happened to me the last 2 years. You don't know what my life is like. But my friend, I do know what the Bible says. Our God will not put us back into bondage if we follow Him with a sincere, tender, humble heart. God will not exploit me. I am not some trinket or some item for sale for God. I am a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God, son of God, daughter of God. You are beloved of God. He died on the cross. Our God will not deliver you and die on the cross, rise again to give us so that we could become a child of God only to lead me back into Egypt. He won't do it. He doesn't exploit me. I'm not going to be entrapped in a sinful lifestyle. James 1, 13 through 15 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, here's the truth, and we see this here in the detour. Those who are recently delivered from the shackles of sin, maybe they've had a tragedy recently in their house, in their home, a trauma. They need to be protected. God tells us in Romans 14, don't create a stumbling block for someone. Your liberty is not a cause for offense, and here is Israel. I mean, they're still vulnerable. They've been under harsh rule of a hard government, a ruthless government, a vindictive government. God gets them out of there. God tenderly leads them in seemingly the hard path. But the hard path, the long way around, is really the protected path because of a loving Father that knows what lies in their way should they go the easy way. And Satan seeks to use our weaknesses. He exploits us. Realize in Scripture that sometimes in churches it can happen. A church may compromise and cause a stumbling block in the way of maybe young believers. Someone that struggled, for instance, in a particular area. They really want victory. And man, they're starting to come to church. They're on fire for the Lord and they're learning and they just have it. And all of a sudden, someone says something. Creating a stumbling block, as was the case in Revelation 2:14. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication? And someone begins to give some exhortations towards things that are not of God, a quote-unquote more mature believer, trying to get that person to go the way they want to go. That pastor, he doesn't know what he's saying. That's a long way. That's not the right way. We don't know what we're doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. My friend, if you believe in an almighty God, the same God that led Israel out, the same God that redeemed you and I through Jesus Christ, who came to earth, died, and rose again to give us freedom from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the victorious through sin, from the power of sin, and I can lead a victorious life in Christ, is the same God that can lead my pastors, the same God that can lead me in my life, is the same God that, yes, it might be the longer road, the shorter road is filled with landmines. God knows every step in my life. And Job would say that.
Job would say, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He would even say that my foot hath held the steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Job saying, listen, follow God. God's way is the best way. It's the safest way. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. But God, you don't know what's going on in our culture. You don't know what's in the news. You don't know the kind of government we have. God, you don't know my boss. God, you don't know my spouse. God, you don't know my parents. God, you don't know my whomever you want to fill in the blanks. God, you don't know. God, I want to get to the promises. I want to get to the Canaan land. God, you've been promising in us for 430 years. I mean, from the time back to Abraham, God, you've promised us. We want to be in Canaan. God says, I'll get you there. I'll get you there. But if I am impatient to God leading, I put myself through that shortcut through the land of the Philistines and additional enemies. Know this, that God understands what I can deal with. In verse 19, going back here to Exodus 13, Moses would take the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joseph knew years and years prior that God would bring them to the promised land. And they're just on the cusp of it. And friend, maybe we're right on the cusp of the blessings and promises of God. You know, you can be in the peace of God right now. Israel was in the peace of God and the will of God as they left Egypt right then and there. They hadn't been in Canaan land yet. They were still in the desert. They were on the run. But they could still have the peace and the presence of God with them. Think about this. God had a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. He had the tabernacle that would end up coming in a short while thereafter. And God wanted to be amongst his people. But the question is, are you willing to abandon your will and let God have his way in your life? Are you thanking God for the struggles that you're going through or moaning and groaning that life is too hard? Life is not like the way I want it. Life is harder than everyone else has to endure. My life is so difficult. God has a plan for your life. Genesis 18, as God makes a promise again to Abraham about a mighty nation. Joseph makes a promise, take my bones someday to the promised land. I know we're not going to stay here. This is only temporary. Joseph believed the promises of God and wanted to be brought to the place of God's blessing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And our mindset on earth ought to be, in the latter portion of Hebrews 11, 13, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Understand this, friend, the greatest promises and blessings of God are when we breathe our last or when Jesus comes back, which does seem to be very soon. But don't let up. Don't quit following that cloud and that fire. Don't quit following the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Don't quit following the leadership that God has put in your life. Friend, the shortcut is never the right way. You're just a stranger in this land. And in some day in heaven, you're going to look back and be like, oh man, how foolish was I. And there is a perfect path. Not only for deliverance, but also to abide in Christ. Every step of the way from Egypt to the promised land was a step by God's direction. Follow the cloud. Follow the pillar of fire. Follow it. And every step was God's will, if they were willing to follow. But you got to be willing to follow. God delights and yearns to lead his own into truth and deliverance. John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God always wants to lead to deliverance and restitution. Psalm 107, 6 and 7. Particularly verse 6, let's read that. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. They went the right way. Yeah, but the right way is the long way. But God has a plan. And there are things that happen in our life, and I've had at times that I remember one night I was driving home, and I was working at Chick-fil-A. I was a manager down in South Carolina while I was in Bible college, and I came home one particular night the way I normally do, about a 20-minute drive with my wife, and there was a tree across the road, and it was lightning. I mean, just lightning like I've never seen. Rain in that area I'd never seen before. A road was, I mean, there was no way. I could not, just after that tree, there was a bridge, and there was no way I could get over that bridge. I mean, it was a big tree, and I didn't have a chainsaw in my vehicle, and so I had to go around. My 20-minute drive became 2.5 hours. Well, on the drive home, there was a gentleman on the side of the road whom I stopped to help, and I had an opportunity to witness to him, but I thought, you know what, maybe God redirected me this night to be a witness to this man. And you might be thinking, you have a redirection in your day and thinking, God, this is the long way. Don't you know I've got this list and this list and this list and this list and this list? God says, I don't care about your checklist. I care about the list that I've set for you. No, it's not wrong to make checklists. It's not wrong to have an agenda for the day, but you need to allow God to redirect us. We can get so fixed on our ideas of what I need to do today that I give no room for the Holy Spirit of God to lead me. God says, follow my cloud. And you might be thinking, man, I've got all these 2 million Israelites or however many there are, and we've just set up camp, and I'm comfortable, and that cloud moves again. Are you kidding me? I just put our clothes out to dry. I just did the laundry. Are you kidding me, God? God, you're moving again. My feet. Don't you know when my feet are tired? Friend, our God wants to lead us. God's got great promises. But if you do not have a willing heart to follow, you'll never avoid the unnecessary enemies. God's word is a fire. It cleanses us. It purifies us. God uses the pillar of fire. He uses the cloud by day and the Spirit of God, kind of like you'd think about as air and the fire, the word of God, to cleanse and purify my wicked heart so that I would follow him and walk with him and be guided by him every step of the way. Realize this, that every step in front of the next step is still God's guidance and leadership in your life if you're willing to follow. The word of God shows me the sin in my heart. And God says, Israel, follow me the long route, or what you would esteem the long route. But God says, follow me on the easy route. Much like Jesus Christ would give there in Matthew chapter 11. Right, in Matthew chapter 11. As we've been up here, I have to say here in Thompson and the challenges, we had the first 3.5 years here. It was a very challenging time, and I thought, man, we came to church for those first 3.5 years that we were here, and every Sunday it seemed like someone just hated us. You'd say hello, no one wanted to. I mean, It was a very trying, challenging time. You know what I'm thankful for? I got to draw close to the Lord. You know what I'm thankful for? The pandemic. I would have never drawn so close to the Lord. I would have never seen his face and the value of the local New Testament church. I would have never had a love for the brethren. It was a detour from my way, my perspective. Realize in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden light. God says, follow me. You said, yeah, Lord, but that's the long way. Yeah. God says, this is the way of rest. You know what? If you try to take the shortcut, much like that guy in the begin with, the horse fell over, the old farmer, he shot at him. Life's a whole lot harder. I don't know about you, but I don't like people shooting at me. Whether it's verbally or physically, I don't like them shooting at me. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and through 22, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. God says, take this book. Take this book. Just follow me. Follow the pastor. Now, if he goes the wrong way, then you stay with the book. I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 43, verse 3 through 5. We'll be done here shortly. Isaiah 43, verse 3. Excuse me, let's try that again. Psalm 43. Let's try that again. I apologize if you turn to Isaiah. It is Psalm 43. Let's try that again. Psalm 43, verse 3. Apologize. Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee. O God, my God, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. If you want hope and health, spiritual health, you got to be willing to follow sometimes on the long route. You got to follow the route that God leads. You might be saying, man, it's so hard because I haven't learned to put a foot after foot. I haven't learned to get in the yoke with him and let him carry my burdens. I haven't learned to just put one step in front of the other. You said it's so hard. Yeah. When you try doing it yourself. Because you're trying to go through the land of the Philistines. And then you begin to cry, oh, Lord, help me. God says, if you would have followed my spirit and followed the word of God, it would have been a whole lot easier. In conclusion, how often in our lives do we resist and fight against our struggles in life when we should have changed our attitude and thanked the Lord for what we're going through? We need to understand that God is doing a work in us, preparing us for future struggles and battles in life. You can get back to the place where God is running your life if you only get right with God and submit to his leading. Friend, the detour of life from your perspective is God's will from his perspective. The truth is, am I going to go the way that I think is the shortcut in my own wisdom? Or am I just going to simply submit, follow God's leadership, find the rest to my soul, and find the path that God wants me on? And you know what? I'll avoid a lot of unnecessary troubles. If you'll simply do that this day, follow God, just commit, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my impatience. Lord, I'll follow you. No matter what. Pastor.
Amen. That is such a good truth. I was thinking many times throughout that sermon about that song, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You know, our way is often different. Our perspective is often different. But the Lord has detours in our lives on purpose. And if we will follow him and allow him to guide us, he can use us. And he didn't use this verse in his sermon tonight, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? One that we go to all the time, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, that was a great challenge, and I know I'm convicted, and we need to make sure our perspective in life and what we're facing lines up with the perspective that God has for us. Thank you, Brother Lau, for that wonderful challenge, and let's remember it as we go our separate ways this evening. Let's hold on to that truth and trust the Lord in the path that he has for us. It's exciting. And who knows what ministry opportunities await us this week. We don't know what the world's going to do. We don't know what the government's going to do. But we can trust the Lord. And no matter what detour he has us on, there's a purpose. Amen. What a great message. What a great challenge. Thank you for joining us tonight. And thank you for being gracious with the different format for today. And I'm thankful that we have the technology we do, and thankful we can do this. and still worship the Lord with one another. So thank you for joining us, and Lord willing, we'll be together on Wednesday night at 6:30. So have a wonderful evening, and thank you for joining us today.